On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are discussing the prospects of the DNR being required to authorize a hunting season for sandhill cranes. This measure was part of a package of 13 bills from Republican lawmakers last month. But the issue, it has been debated among hunters and conservationists for years. And now your thoughts. Do you hunt birds? Should the state open a hunting season for sandhill cranes? It's 800-642-1234. Rich Belfus is president and CEO of the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. Rich, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the Republican proposed bill would establish a sandhill crane hunting season, but there are conditions and caveats. Can you explain what's being proposed here in this legislation?
Sure. Yeah, it is. Would be a limited hunt that is being proposed in the legislation. There's not a lot of details around it, but it would be a fall hunting season in Wisconsin for the birds. And it would be implemented by the DNR if it is approved by legislation. So it would be the first sandhill crane hunt in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Would the DNR have to first do some research as to how many sandhill cranes could be taken?
We certainly hope so. That's a little bit unclear how that comes out of the legislation, but we would certainly hope there would be more research on a number of things, really understanding the population in Wisconsin, vulnerable areas. There are many areas where hunting would be could cause some real problems in some critical roost sites near whooping cranes that have been reintroduced in the state and other places. So there's a lot of thought that would need to go into a hunt if it was approved.
We're going to talk further about whooping cranes and the challenges there, but a similar bill was proposed here in Wisconsin in 2011, did not pass. Can you give us some history and context of hunting cranes in Wisconsin?
It's kind of big picture. Wisconsin has just a wonderful sandhill crane, you know, conservation success story. I mean, this is a bird that was almost lost from Wisconsin. There was beautiful writing in the 1950s from Aldo Leopold about the prospect of the very last sandhill cranes in Wisconsin flying off into the Netherlands. So they made this remarkable recovery, and the numbers have picked up a lot. We have more than 90,000 birds that now fly through the eastern part of the U.S. As sandhill cranes recovered in Wisconsin, they've spread east. Now they have good populations in Michigan. They're breeding again in Ohio. You know, all of this for the first time in more than 100 years. So that's been a really exciting story. And that's also raised interest in hunting the birds in the eastern part of the U.S. as the numbers have grown. We have some really specific concerns about the breeding grounds here in Wisconsin, about the prospect of hunting here on their breeding grounds, the conflict with reintroduced whooping cranes and other issues. So we've had concerns here, and in the past, those concerns have prevented the bill from moving up to the governor level. I think there hasn't been strong support for the bill, strong enough for it to be passed. And I think that's still the case. I don't think a majority of people in Wisconsin support a hunt, but there are some who do support it very strongly. And they may well have very good reasons for wanting to hunt them, but we feel Wisconsin is not quite ready for a hunt yet. So
it sounds like sandhill cranes, though, are really thriving in many areas of the country. Sandhill crane hunting is legal in at least 15 states. How healthy would the population have to be for the foundation to support such a hunting bill?
Well, so the problem we're looking at right now is that the population is very healthy. I want to be clear. The population is healthy and growing, and a small hunt could be supported in Wisconsin. I mean, could be carried out in Wisconsin without driving the population back down to, extinction or loss from Wisconsin or something dramatic like that. We know that, but I think that there's other issues at stake here. You know, they are a bird that worldwide, and certainly here in Wisconsin, really captures the imagination of a lot of people. It's a bird that we have very close social and cultural ties to. And when the DNR evaluated the hunt, they came to the same conclusion. They could be hunted, but they're not sure that's the right move for the state of Wisconsin for a number of reasons. And I think that's part of the conversation. That's not an easy part of the conversation, but you know, we've heard from our members and from lots of other conservation-minded folks in Wisconsin who are really concerned about prospects of a sandhill hunt, how it might affect the birds, which are now back in our lives all over the states. People love seeing them in parks and in all different protected areas and even on farmlands across Wisconsin. And it's exciting to folks. So the real concern that's been raised with the is that cranes are a threat to crops, that they cause crop damage in the state. And that's really, at the International Crane Foundation, that is our focus right now on solving the issue of crop depredation, loss of corn and sometimes potatoes and other crops. And that's what we would like to solve for a lot of reasons. And we feel that's the number one issue with sandhills, and that problem can be solved without a hunt.
We're going to get more into the crop situation. Let me reintroduce you. We're talking with Rich Belfus, who has been the president and CEO of the International Crane Foundation since 2010. You can join in. How would you feel about the state creating a hunting season for sandhill cranes? Are you a farmer? How do you prevent cranes from eating out of your fields? 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Gary is joining us from Boscobel. Hi, Gary. What are your thoughts on sandhill cranes?
Well, I do a lot of outdoor wildlife photography here in the Grant County and Crawford County, and I used to spend a lot of time along the Kickapoo River and even the Mississippi River in lower Wisconsin. And what I've noticed with these climate change and these incredible rain events where we get this flash flooding and water levels that are unstable and fluctuating, is the nesting sandhill cranes along especially the lower Kickapoo River and some of these other outlying wetlands, their reproduction rate has really dropped off because of erratic flooding and loss of nesting efforts during these flood events. So when it used to be, I would travel along the lower Kickapoo and see four or five pairs of sandhills and two-thirds of them with youngsters. Now I see three pair of sandhills and no reproduction. So there is some concern. It's anecdotal, of course, but there is concern with climate change that it can be eventually affecting some of these populations.
Gary, thank you so much for those citizen scientist observations there, Rich. What is the impact with climate change?
Yeah, that is such a great point. There's really two good points in there. One is we don't know the impact fully of climate change. We know that we're getting more erratic behavior, if nothing else, climate behavior. And so we can see more flooding, like the caller described, and other problems that can really affect nests. I think that may be anecdotal information, but it's very interesting and helpful as we put together a picture. The other issue, though, is it just points out there's a lot we don't know about this breeding population in Wisconsin. And in the core area that we've studied near Baraboo for more than 30 years, pushing 40 years now, in that core area, we're seeing definitely decline in breeding productivity. We think the birds have kind of, you know, what we would call saturated that area. And that's why we're seeing cranes pushing out further east and repopulating parts of the country where they haven't been in 100 years. And that's a wonderful process to get birds. You know, people in Ohio are so excited to have cranes back. Now they're pushing up even into Pennsylvania, New York, up into the Northeast. And that's all part of the dynamics of this growing population. And we may soon stabilize in Wisconsin and see a lot of birds finding new territories out in the east. So there's a lot we don't know. And the caller is right to point out that this can raise all kinds of concerns about the population, how it's breeding, how it might respond to hunting in certain areas.
Let's bring on Jerry now in Viola. Jerry, hi, what is your question?
I have a question and a comment. My question is, why would you hunt sandhill cranes? Do you eat them, or is it just to protect your crops? And my comment is, I'm an avid trout fisherman, and I've been in the Driftless area for 20 years. In the last 3 or 4 years, I've stumbled upon a lot of nesting cranes. And last spring, I was trimming my apple orchard, and these two cranes came flying down, and it seemed like the male was calling to the female and vice versa. And I just had to say, it was magical. Mm. That's all I got.
Jerry, thank you so much. Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for that comment. You know, that gets at the heart of what I'm I'm trying to say here, and the caller said it so well, there's a magic to cranes. You know, I've had people say, well, you're okay with shooting deer, why can't we shoot cranes? You know, I hear those kind of arguments a lot from people, and people may find wonder in all the wildlife of Wisconsin, but there's a magic of cranes, and it's a worldwide magic. It's why we exist at the Crane Foundation. We do work all over Africa and Asia, and it's around how to find a place for wildlife in our human-dominated landscapes, and it's through that magic of cranes that people are working to try to find that harmony. It's really part of the story, and it's why lots of waterfowl hunters have come to me and said, look, you know, we don't want to hunt sandhills. We don't want to hunt ducks and other things, but sandhills are different. You're hearing from some sportsman writers in the state saying the same thing. There's a magic to the birds. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
What do you use the birds for, though, as Jerry was asking? What is that end result?
Well, some people do hunt them to eat them. They think of it as kind of a delicacy. I mean, cranes do feed on corn, waste grain of corn in lots of places. And so I have not eaten a crane, but people do say that out west where they're hunted. I've heard that from people in Texas and some of the western states. Here it is all tied into this issue of crop depredation as one of the bigger motivations. So again, that's been our focus. And to be honest, we need to solve crop depredation, not just in Wisconsin, but in lots of places we're dealing. I got a call literally yesterday from our team in Rwanda in Africa, and there they had a mass poisoning of cranes, and it was over the cranes coming on crops. So, and those cranes there are an endangered species in big decline. They're not doing as well as the sandhills. And if we don't find how to solve the crop problem without killing the cranes, we're going to lose them everywhere. So it's a great concern for us to work with farmers and find real solutions for crop depredation. It's one of our top priorities right now as an organization.
We're discussing a proposal unveiled by Republican state lawmakers last month that would open up sandhill cranes to be hunted in our state. Rich Belfus leads the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. Are you a farmer? How have cranes affected your fields? How should the state reimburse farmers for damage? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about how sandhill cranes could be hunted under a bill proposed by lawmakers last month. Republican State Senator Rob Stafchold of New Richmond was on our program last month weighing in on it.
Each year it gets to be more and more. As I travel around and go to meetings and talk to constituents, more and more people want to have a crane hunting season.
Are you a bird hunter? Are you one of those voices? Are you a member of the International Crane Foundation? What are your thoughts? 800-642-1234. We have International Crane Foundation CEO Rich Belfus, who is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's look at what farmers are encountering in their fields, Rich. Supporters of the bill say sandhill cranes are eating and destroying farmers' crops. The foundation says hunting cranes won't solve the problem. Can you explain what is happening on the fields?
You bet. It's a real problem, no question about it. And cranes are now occur on farms everywhere because we of course lost all our prairies 100 or 150 years ago. And cranes, like other birds, adapted to our farming landscape. And that's a great thing. I think farmers can be wonderful wildlife stewards. But most of the year, cranes are beneficial on farms. They eat grubs and pests and waste grain and things that farmers generally don't care about, or fighting. But in the spring, freshly germinated corn is very tasty to sandhill cranes. And if a big flock comes in of young birds, they will pull out a lot of freshly germinated seed corn. They can also cause some damage, we've heard, to potatoes, sometimes to wheat or to peas. So the problem is real. There's no question about it. And there was great testimony in the Capitol from farmers who have been negatively affected by sandhills. And that's a problem we need to solve. The problem is linking these two things together. We're not going to hunt sandhill cranes back down to where there's so few that they're no longer on farms. You know, then we're going to lose the birds again from the state if we had a sort of drastic measure like that. So we need real solutions on farms, and there are some solutions on there. And We have worked for many, many years to help develop a product that can be applied to corn that makes it taste bad, a non-toxic product called Avapel that can be on corn. But now we need to get that chemical treated on corn at the point of manufacture. So farmers simply buy a bag of corn. It's already treated against crop damage by cranes and other birds and kind of ready to go. So you take away the inconvenience to farmers about applying it, and it brings the cost way down. So we're working on that to get that product out to farmers and to find other solutions. We need to find a similar way to make sure cranes aren't eating fresh potatoes or peas. Those solutions exist. They just need time and research, and we need to support farmers. And those are real solutions, but a limited hunt in the fall will not solve the problem of a flock of cranes coming on your crops in March or April, or, you know, right in the sensitive growing period, and then eating that freshly germinated corn. So that's the problem. The hunt really doesn't address this problem, except for those who want to hunt the population down to, you know, a quarter or a fraction of what it is currently.
How could you get farmers to get on board to use this non-toxic chemical? What is the barrier there?
Well, lots and lots of farmers are using it. They're using it in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, and Michigan. The spread of Avapel has been significant. But what we hear from farmers is that it's inconvenient to apply in the hop, you know, on the farm, and it's expensive. You know, for farmers who are on a tight margin, it's expensive. So the key is we've got to get it at the point of manufacture so that it's just part of the product they buy, which would bring the cost down to essentially to much, much lower, to really eliminate the cost problem and the inconvenience problem. And then we need ways to compensate farmers when they have crop damage until this is fully available. Some people want the hunt so that it will trigger the cost abatement program, the damage claims program that would help get some money to farmers, but the problem is that's a very limited fund and would be exhausted right away. So a few farmers might benefit from crop payments that would be triggered, crop damage payments that would be triggered by a hunt, but it's really very few that would benefit before that would be exhausted. So again, we need real solutions. And I think representatives on both sides really understand that problem and have said that, you know, this hunt is only a small piece of it. There's a lot more we need to do. And we are very happy and really focused on working with lawmakers and farmers to really solve this problem.
Let's bring on Roger now in Spring Green. Hi, Roger. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. I want to bring up that there's actually a reason to not have the hunt to protect hunters, because what are the legal penalties if they were to accidentally shoot a whooping crane, and what training could be done? Like maybe a 3 to 4 hour training session if they were going to get a license.
Roger, thank you. Rich, what are the potential challenges there with having around, is it 80 whooping cranes in Wisconsin?
That's right. Yeah. The whooping crane is the rarest bird in Wisconsin. We've been reintroducing them for about 20 years. They were lost from the entire eastern half of the U.S. about 120 years ago. So yeah, in trying to bring them back. Now, some people will say, well, this whooping cranes, if you've seen one, is a huge, very bright white bird. They're quite a bit taller than sandhill cranes. You know, why would somebody mistake those? But the chicks of whooping cranes are actually brownish and not that different from sandhill cranes, the juveniles that are not full size that they hatch each year that grow up in Wisconsin. And we're concerned about low light, early morning conditions when the hunting typically occurs, and that confusion could occur. There's been some hunter education proposed with the bill. It oddly sunsets out after just a couple of years. I don't understand that part of it at all. It certainly, you would want a permanent hunter education program around separating not only sandhills and whoopers, but other birds that can and can't be hunted in the state. And that's always a good thing, I think. But we do have concerns, and we want whooping cranes to thrive like sandhills and spread over the state. And that would put a lot of pressure on where the hunt could occur for sandhills if it were pushed over to the DNR. So I think people who are concerned about whooping cranes coming back have the right to be concerned, because that's been a very long and challenging process to bring them back from full extinction in the state.
Linda now in Pewaukee. Linda, what would you like to add?
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is kind of part of a broader issue. And the question is, should the goal of protecting a species or letting it repopulate the state, should the goal always be to get the numbers high enough so that they can be hunted?
Yeah, you raised such an important issue there, which is, you know, we kind of know how to deal with rare species. We have an Endangered Species Act. We have certain protections that come in when something is rare. But how do we keep flourishing species flourishing? When should we just celebrate the comeback on the land that people can see sandhills, for example, all over the state? And that's a good thing. My hope is that that wouldn't immediately trigger, so to speak, the need for or the desire for a hunt just because we can see more and more of them on the landscape. So I don't know what people ask that a lot, what number would be too many to have in Wisconsin. I don't think we'll hit that number if we solve the crop depredation problem, and we will, because the cranes will continue to push east. They'll continue to populate available habitat all across the eastern U.S. We'll see breeding birds in places they haven't been again in hundreds of years. So Wisconsin doesn't have unlimited places for cranes to breed, and they'll spread out. That's what we would love to see. So
very quickly, a sensitive question here, I understand. But nevertheless, if this legislation would pass and an open season for sandhills would be created, would that be grounds at all to move the location of the foundation out of state?
No, we're a part of Wisconsin. We have no intention of leaving the state. We work worldwide for endangered and more common cranes like the sandhill cranes. Mm-hmm. We would stay right here. We like being right on the urban rural edge of Wisconsin, I guess. Mm-hmm. We like working with farmers and landowners out in rural Wisconsin as much as we love to work with other supporters from cities, members from big cities in Wisconsin. So we are committed to working all across the state here, and as I said, we work internationally, so we have lots of programs overseas.
Rich, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here today. Thank you,
Rich Belfus, CEO of the International.